Wow. That something stirred my heart when you prayed for Dan Smith, the cancer thing. I'm just going to obey it. I'm trusting it's the Lord. Like any situation of cancer that you're aware of right now, if there's anybody in the room, that you have any trace, any situation, if you're in the middle of treatments, I need to know who you are. We need to pray. I just believe God's going to do something. Okay, just stand for somebody if you know somebody. I'm telling you, this is not a game. I heard this in my heart. This is serious. Jesus paid an amazing price to make these things possible. And here's what's happened to us. We haven't grown in Him like we can. I'm not being condemning. I'm being real. We still live in some fear. We still take some things for granted. And then we get a crisis. We pray and we don't see a change. And then we give up on hope and even truth sometimes. And sometimes we've lost loved ones to things and we've given up believing because we said we prayed.
Yes.
But are we growing up into Him? Have we become something through spending time in His presence?
Come on.
Or are we just praying because we have need? And has He become our servant more than our Father? Because a good sign of that is when you lose a loved one and you lose heart and you stop praying and you grow away from God, that means you never had a close relationship with Him. You were hoping He served your situation. Mm-hmm. And He let you down. So you walk some other way. That's a sign that you never really knew Him. You never took time to grow a relationship. You're just hoping He serves your needs. Oh, He's more than that, people.
Amen.
Oh, He's so good, man. I'm so glad you all stood up. Is there anybody else? Quick, stand up, because I know in this stuff. Look, I'm not just doing church right now. It's very real to me. God's going to do something phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Are you standing, everybody that needs to? Let me see the people in this room that are actually standing on their own personal behalf, that they have a situation. I need to see your hands. Your own personal, I know it too. Okay, you too, young man? Wow. Okay, you ready to pray? Everybody in this room, just thank God while I'm praying. Just thank God that He's moving, that He's taking away cancer, that He's changing these situations. Would you do that with me?
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank You right now that I heard this in my heart. We're standing, we're obedient, we're doing all we know to do. But You did what You did on that cross. You did what You did. And did You not just inspire my heart? It's not faith in this room. I know it is. And I thank You, Father, that every situation is turned around and changed. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
God, I thank You. You're moving in a supernatural and dramatic and wonderful way. Now, God, right now, even the cancer that's trying to stay present in this room in people's bodies, I thank You. It has no power, has no right. You will leave their bodies now in the authority of Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus. God, You're so good. I don't usually do this because people make it about people, but it's about Jesus. It's not about people. It's about Jesus and what He did. There's faith in my heart right now. And I just see God changing situations, healed in Jesus' name, Gary. That's right. All through You, the presence of the living God. Not one trace of cancer remaining in your body. In Jesus' name. Who else is here present in the room? Is it this man right here? Yeah? In Jesus' name. Complete wholeness in your body. Father, I thank You for strength restored and body renewed. Complete change in Him. Let today be different. In Jesus' name, cancer, You leave this, Father. Thank You, Father. God, You're good. It's your mom? Okay, give me your hands. She's not here, though. Thanks for standing. We have no faith to stand. Father, we pray for our mother right now. And we thank You right where she is. Right where she is. Yeah. Holy Spirit, come on her right now. Right now, thank You. Because You're good. Because You love her. Pay the price of Your blood, Jesus. To save her. And set her free. Spirit of God, come upon her right now. And do what only You can do. Save a mother. Save her. In Jesus' name, behold. Yeah, thank You. You? Father, I thank You for touching him right now in Jesus' name in a very special way. Restore strength. Yeah, years. Years, God, in front of him. Years. Yeah, fruitful years in front of him, God. Touch him, Lord, in a special and precious way. Be whole and be healed, cancer. You'd never be found in his flesh or body again. in the authority of Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for standing. Did I miss anybody in the room? Okay? You guys can be seated. I was in a church years ago, it was a few years ago, and I got a word just like that with cancer. The pastor had just died from cancer. So obviously the church was pretty shook. And it was amazing what the Lord did, because this stuff comes into our life to intimidate us. And we have to be careful that we're not living to survive.
Right. Come on.
Right.
We're living to shine.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
We got to stop living to survive. If you're living to survive, you're going to get overrun. Everything's going to move you, and you're only going to pray because you're afraid, not because you believe.
Right.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
The gospel's not a survival kit.
Yeah, right.
It's the answer of a new life.
Yeah.
So what? Paul said, whether we live, whether we die, it's all under the Lord.
Yes.
Like now isn't what it's all about. It's about then and forevermore. We're living to that day. We're not trying to make it.
Yes.
I run into people constantly, good Christian people, and they're geared in this mindset of just trying to make it through the day, trying to make it through life. Yes. Life is inside of us. We're not trying to make it through life. Life is forever in Him. Like, this is a stepping stone for all eternity. Write a legacy now. Refuse to live in fear. Refuse to be driven by stuff.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Come on, we are not trying to survive.
Come on.
I was in this church and the lady, she didn't even come. The usher met me at the door. He grabbed my hand and said, keep my wife in prayer. She wouldn't even come. We just got a devastating report today. You know what happened to Pastor? Yeah, I know. And she's been fighting, and we thought we had it in remission, and now it's metastasized into her bones. Who knows? That's real. I'm not, you know, that's a hit. That you gotta have something here to even begin to handle that. Or you're just driven by the problem nonstop. Driven by the problem. At some point, you just got to take a breath and back up and say, wait a minute. I am not trying to survive cancer. I'm your child. I'm growing up in you. You're mighty in me. And we're going to shine, period.
That's right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not trying to win. We won.
Yes.
Once your heart gets moved into faith and receiving Christ, you won. You're going to live forever. Yeah. Like, I'm never going to die.
Yeah.
Yay. So I'll never be driven by death.
Amen.
The fear of death has lost its power. Yeah. Hebrews 2 says that we are free from the fear of the bondage of death through Jesus Christ, who all our life we've been held captive by that thing.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm just being honest. I'm not mad at you. Nobody's hearing me that way, right?
No.
I'm not correcting you. I travel every weekend and I see constantly Christians scared to death, afraid to death, and only living to survive and trying to grab all kind of promises to make it instead of become.
Yeah.
You guys with me?
Yes.
I understand these things real. Pray for the sick. Pray for healing. Pray. I got in the service and the Lord came on me. And I'm sorry I'm so aggressive right now. I hope I'm not overwhelming you. It just hit me. I got up and I was trying to stay calm, and now I'm really aggressive. I feel it. No, this thing's so real and we're sincere. I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. Are you kidding me? I'm talking to His kids.
Yeah?
We love Him the best we understand Him. And sometimes this stuff, there's a strategy, there's a war going on to crush the kingdom of God and to keep people from being formed in Christ, to get us always running from problem to problem and this need and that need and pray for this and I need this and keep me in prayer. And all we ever do is have our list before the Lord.
Yeah.
And 25 years could go by and all of a sudden all we tried to do is use our faith to get through the day instead of become what He paid for and become who He is in us. Oh, man. The Bible says to love not your own life unto death. That's how we overcome. How can we love not our own life unto death and be afraid of death?
Come on.
I promise you, I'm hearing this again. We are not here to survive.
Come on.
The most you can lose is a little bit of temple time. Man, I'm leaving here tonight. I'm going to drive home after service tonight. I'm going to drive. People say, 3 hours in the morning? I'll be fine. But let's just say, you don't talk like this. I'm just using illustration. Let's just say you hear that a tractor trailer lost control, came across the lane, and just took me out head on, boom. And I was instantly taken out. Don't you be like, now why did that happen to Dan? But God was really using him. Well, he seemed anointed. Well, he was a righteous man. How could you let that happen, God? Well, I don't know why. Next thing you know, you're so confused, you ain't even praying. Next thing you know, you're so upset, you don't even know you want to go to church. Uh-huh. And now you're giving yourself away that you never had a relationship with God.
Wow. Yeah.
You were just hoping he got you through life.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Now you get offended. And Jesus said, blessed is he who's not offended in me. Because I promise you, if that would happen, you'd get that report. Only thing I lost was a little temple time. Just a little less seeds in the ground, a little less fruit. But my barns and vats, I'm believing, got some stuff in them, man. I'm excited. You know, listen, we won. Like, I cannot lose.
Come on.
Yeah, so treat me right, treat me wrong. I'm going to stay this way, right here. Like me, don't like me. I'm not being smart right now. I'm not being facetious or mean. I'm not challenging you. Like me or don't like me. I'm going to stay just like this. We won. I'm in. That can't change.
Amen.
Yay. But I was in that church. See, but we're letting all, if we're not careful, we're letting all this other stuff matter way more. Yeah. Way more. How I feel, what they think, what they said. And I can't believe they hurt my feelings. Well, they said, well, I don't know why they said, I just... Come on! Jesus didn't teach you that. You don't see that in Jesus' life. He's the teacher. You didn't see that in Jesus. So where would we learn it if he didn't teach it? He said, don't you let anyone be your teacher. You got one, and he's the Christ. So if I didn't learn it from him, where did I learn it? Oops. See, I was in that church. We got praying like we did for your mama. We're just believing, God, come. And I called that usher down, and it was God. He said, I don't want the people fearing cancer because of loss. I want them to grow in a truth that has greater power. Because what happens is we get intimidated. We take a hit. Then we're kind of, we build, we're limping, we're praying from defeat. So next time cancer rises up, man, last time I prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't see no fruit. And now we're weighing our results instead of truth. After about 2 times around like that, I know the average human heart gets discouraged and fails in hope. Just goes through the religious motions, reduces this book to principles that we're quoting, hoping a rabbit pops out of the hat. Mm-hmm. This is covenant. This is relationship. This is lay down your life to know him. This is give yourself to gain him. Throw away every non-productive, non-fruitful attitude, opinion, mindset, emotion. Throw it away when you catch yourself in it and see it's not producing life. Get rid of it because it can't be the Lord.
Come on. Good.
But God just came in mercy that day. We prayed for that lady. She was last stages of cancer. She was sitting home. She said she was in her home watching a mindless TV show because she was so discouraged. Just a senseless thing on TV. And she wouldn't come to service because she was so emotionally whacked from the report. And while she's watching the mindless TV show, the Spirit of the Lord came in and came over her bed. And she went, oh. And he said she just swirled around her, hovered around her. And when it was all over, this experience, which was the living God, she had strength in her body for the first time since this whole thing started. She could get out of bed. She was excited. She drove to church. We're preaching. She comes in the back at like 8 o'clock and said, everybody looked back and went, oh, it's her. She said, you all were praying for me at such and such a time. I'm like, God, ain't you something? Because that ain't my fault. You can't be anointed enough for that. That's just God.
Yes.
Being good and doing what he does and teaching his kids. I think we get a little too caught up, and don't hear me wrong, the anointing and who's anointed. The anointing's important. But you can't be anointed enough for that. It's not about the individual. It's not about the minister in that moment.
Yes, come on.
It's about the living God that gives instruction and moves and gives insight. And if he didn't speak, you wouldn't hear.
That's right.
You say, well, he's so prophetic. If God didn't speak, he wouldn't hear.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
She came up front, grabbed the mic, shared a testimony. The place went bananas. Everybody came up and started worshiping. She stood in the front and danced like David danced, I guess. And her husband said, she hasn't done anything like this for 4 or 5 years. And all night she just was freaking out, dancing, worshiping God. Next night she come back to church. She's ready for church. See, here's the thing. We can't draw conclusions because of results or lack of results. We got to settle on truth through Jesus' life and grow into it and never change our mind. Come hell or high water, come yes or no, come answer to prayer or to what seems like not an answer to prayer, results or no results. We got to settle on what truth is through Jesus' life and never let experience teach us who God is, because Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Amen.
This feels very important, this message right now in my heart.
Amen.
We've got to stop looking at life to find truth. When we just sang, there's a man, he's called Truth. And his name is Jesus Christ, man. That just tears your hair. I had the tears in my eyes when Clay was singing that. Like, what lyrics? A way that's narrow, there's life. There's a man called Truth. His name is Jesus Christ. I think so many times we falsely find what we call truth through life and the way it unraveled. I prayed for my mother years ago and she passed, and you can see that I didn't let that decide what I believe. Since then I've seen a lot of mamas healed. Why? Because I'm not a hurt son.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not offended Christian. I'm not sitting in the quandary asking why over and over and over, getting no answers. I'm saying, you know what? There's a place to grow up into him. He didn't lie. If he saved me, he saved me. Because if I question one thing, then I'm questioning 2 things, 4 things, 10 things. Next thing you know, I don't even know what I believe. Why? Because of life instead of the giver of it. Because of human assessment instead of the spirit of wisdom. Common knowledge and human reasoning instead of the spirit of God. Are you with me? Am I making sense?
Amen.
So listen, don't, man, please, when I say don't, I'm not being controlling. Please guard your heart from discouragement in this hour. Let's keep going after God. Let's, as a family in this area, go after what we believe is truth till we see that thing manifest in our life. And if it doesn't, let's not change what we believe because it didn't happen. Let's stay before him and keep growing up in him. In all things. If we've lost a loved one, praying for them, please keep praying for others. No. Don't say, well, you know, God doesn't, he sometimes doesn't. Wait, where did you get that?
Jesus.
Well, yeah, but brother, we all were praying. I mean, even the whole church was fasting. You can't tell me that somebody didn't have a mustard seed of faith, brother. Well, that's the stuff we say in church. No. And then we change what we believe and we leave it to whatever happens, happens, and call it all God.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you put away your sword, you throw away authority, and the power of his name.
Right. Wow.
I'm not preaching something that's too aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm preaching something that's actually very humble, that says no matter what you're tempted to think, back up, slow down, because if it's not producing life, we're off track, we're just caught up sentimental, just sentiments. I'm not a big fan of sentiments. I'm a fan of the Spirit of God. You slow down and you regroup. I remember laying on my bed, losing a friend, praying, losing a friend. See, I've lost some folks. Just laying on the bed, praying, talking to God, Father my heart, instruct me and to come and minister to me. Because I love you and I'm not discouraged. And I know there's a place to grow up into you. And Jesus, if you'd have touched him, he would have been fine. You live in me and I want to represent you more.
Yeah.
There's no condemnation in that. There's hunger in that. Just being real with my heart and with God. I'm not saying, well, you know, it just wasn't your will, God. Well, you know, you had better use for him in heaven. That's just us trying to make our hurting souls feel better.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's at the cost of truth, and truth makes you free, so now we have a real problem.
Right.
Yeah. So now we're reduced to surviving again.
Yep.
And deep down in, we're really not okay.
Yep.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the scripture I'm hearing. Go to Galatians. I'm actually hearing the scripture. This is good. I like when God just speaks in the moment like that. Well, he has to with me because I don't come with a sermon. So I like him in that spot where he'll just speak in a moment. Watch this, Galatians 6. Wow, I'll just start in verse 4. I'll just read the chapter here. I got it all colored up and I keep backing up and that's a problem. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, seeing in the spirit, seeing in truth, right? Restore to one. See, if you're not living in truth, living by the spirit is walking in truth. So if you see a man overtaken, you who are spiritual, restore to such one. If you're not living spiritual, if you're not walking in love, not living in the truth, you can't restore it. You might just be fault finding. He might get on your nerves. You might say, now why has he got to go and do that? He just bugs me. He knows better. That's not in the spirit. That's what Adam taught you, not Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Come on. So you can't even restore somebody if all you can do is fault find. Which what love does, love looks at that brother that's overtaken and you go, man, he doesn't, Father, forgive him. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? Father, for...
Yeah.
Boy, that sure beats, what a bunch of idiots. Are you kidding me? I've healed their sick and raised their dead. They want to kill me? They're a bunch of knotheads. If they didn't get it, they ain't going to get it if they didn't get it by now. Hello?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that didn't come out of Jesus' mouth?
Yes.
You know, what are you people doing to me? Are you kidding me? You, sir, in the back, remember when I healed you on the street of Capernaum? I saw you yelling Barabbas. What's wrong with you? I tried to do a good thing for you guys. Remember when I multiplied all that food? And you want to kill me and call me a blasphemer? I've done nothing but good to you people. I mean, who's ever just seen Jesus in Scripture just sitting on a rock, bummed out? Peter and John ministering to him. Lord, what's the matter? Well, I just don't feel real encouraged, Peter. John, can I lay my head on your chest this time, please? What's wrong, Lord? Well, just doesn't feel like people appreciate me. I mean, I do good and always trying to find what's wrong with me. I heal the sick and they're trying to figure out what demon it is. I just don't think people like me. I mean, I had a hard time getting motivated today. I just wanted to sleep. It might be depression. I know most of us have been treated way less wrong than Jesus was and got way affected because of missing why we're here. You're not here to survive. You're here to shine.
Come on.
You're not here to make it. You're here to be like him.
Yes.
We're not here to pay homage to him. We're not just here to thank him for our food and now I lay me down to sleep. We're here for him to live inside of us. So we can look through our eyes and speak through our mouth and love through our hearts.
Yes.
He wants to be one with us. And he paid the price to make that possible. So he's pretty serious.
Yes, he is.
So that's your call to just live by faith. You can get caught up with all the stuff. You can get caught up with feelings. And well, I'm just not too well. I don't know. But you don't know what I've been through, brother. I'm not talking about what you've been through. I'm talking about what he's been through.
Yeah.
To change your perspective, to change how you respond to what you've been through. Because maybe the point isn't what you've been through. Maybe the point is how you respond to what you've been through.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe that's a sign that it's not about you. Because when you say, well, you don't know what I've been through, maybe that's a sign it is all about you. Mm-hmm. And you're letting what you've been through decide you, and it's all a lie.
Right.
So now that's your story, so you're missing your story in Him. So now you need God to come and minister to you because of your story instead of take on who He is and look at this through Him. So maybe it doesn't matter that my dad was an alcoholic and never said, I love you. Maybe it doesn't matter that there was poverty in our lives. Maybe it doesn't matter I grew up in the city. Maybe it doesn't matter if you're touched strong at a young age. Maybe none of that has nothing to do with who I am in Him. So maybe I don't need prayer after all. Maybe I just need truth. And it'll make me a madman and make me free. Yeah? Maybe with truth comes a new day. In a new and living way. Maybe I'm okay after all. Maybe I don't have to let what a man said and did decide who I am if their name isn't Jesus. Maybe I don't need to let anybody be Lord of my life except for Him. Come on. People are 50 years old and they're still saying, well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up, brother. And you're 50 years old. And you're still living with an identity from growing up. You don't need as much prayer as you think. You need to throw your belief system away. Mm-hmm. I'm not being insensitive. I'm being real. Yeah, but you don't know the torment that my stepdaddy put me through, knocking on my door in the middle of the night, scratching on my door and coming in. Now I get it. That was real and that was traumatic and that was terrible. This is 25 years later. At some point, you got to say, you know what? I am not going to let what the dementation and the twistedness of what that man did in my life decide my life. I am not going down with that ship. God has separated me. I'm pure and holy in His sight. I'm not letting what that man did to me decide who I am. What you did for me and what you want to do through me is a higher call. I call this dead. I am not used goods. I am not touched and defiled wrong. I am your child and you love me. And I stand sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I think what we do is we just relate to feelings nonstop. But you can't relate to feelings if you don't change motive in life. How do you minister to feelings if you don't change motive in life? Because all you're doing is trying to diffuse and comfort the feelings in the moment. But if you don't change the core belief, the feelings always have life. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That sounded good. That sounded almost like I could be a counselor on that one. Maybe he is a counselor. I think I read somewhere that he's a counselor.
Yeah.
And he's free. That's better yet. Can I read Galatians? I'm trying. I preached one sentence and look at that. We're in trouble, brother. How did we get to about noon? To about noonish?
12:30.
No, no, we got the kids and stuff. I'm not long on a Sunday morning. I'm really well behaved. You got me up to the quick too. Well, I've tried to be well behaved, but I'm not long. Probably not doing the well behaved thing well today. Brethren, if a man's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, judge him and talk about him and cast him away. No. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Isn't that amazing? See, this stuff gives you, when you read your Bible and take your time, it gives away where we're sitting, where we're living from. If you just get irritated about people and people are cycling and you're just getting mad and you feel like all you can do is point out the wrong and let it bother you, I would encourage you to get your eyes off of what they're doing and get your eyes off of where you're, and get your eyes back on where you're living from.
Wow.
Because why should it be so easy and normal to cry because of people instead of cry for people? Why is it just so easy to get offended instead of show mercy?
Come on.
Because your motive is for yourself. It's all about you, how you feel, what you think, and your opinion in the moment. And that needs to die. That's supposed to die when you get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And how you feel and what you think is probably not the priority. See, if the way you're feeling, believing, and thinking isn't producing life, it can't be the Lord. Restore such a one with the spirit of what?
Gentleness.
Now, as a pastor, I can be gentle. I can be really straight. I can be straight and gentle at the same time. It's amazing. Love is amazing. See, if my motive is for you, and I'm not correcting you because I'm ticked off, like our children, some of us got trapped over the years just correcting our children because they tick us off and they push our buttons and they pushed us too far. Well, I don't think you can cross that line with the Father. While you were yet a sinner, he sent his son. It didn't say while you were yet a sinner, he sent you to your room. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to send your children to your room. What I'm saying is, how many times we say, Billy, you better knock it off, Billy. Billy, I can't believe that you said that. Didn't I just tell you? Billy, if I told you once, I told you, just get to your room. Just get to your mom. Just get to your room. But Dad, go, boy. You're not teaching Billy anything other than he can cross your line. And you're not even sending him to his room for his sake. You're sending him because you're fed up. So your discipline is zero. It's actually damaging. I don't get condemned, and let's fall on the mercy of God here. Ooh, I felt that in the room. You can hear all these parents in the spirit. Does God correct us? Correction, the chastisement of the Lord, it means instruction. Does he do that for your sake or for his sake? Is he already doing okay?
Yeah.
Is his disposition dictated by your actions or by who he is? That's what he wants us to grow into. So that when you sit down and discipline even your children, it's coming from a motive of love for their sake because they're so much more than what they're giving themselves to. Not because you're ticked off and offended that they didn't listen to their parent. That means something in you still needs to die. That's not condemnation. That's just a place to find prayer. And God, thank you for just, I don't ever want to touch my child the way, outside of the way you would touch me.
Wow, that's good.
Are you with me? That's prayer.
Yeah.
Father, give me a spirit of gentleness without compromising truth. I'm not trying, I don't want to be a pushover. I want to uphold truth, but in a heart of love. And I thank you that you have no ability to get offended in me because you love me. And love doesn't seek its own, seek itself. Sometimes I feel so frustrated towards my children. I feel like they disrespect me, and that makes me mad. That's more of a problem, me getting mad, than them disrespecting. I'm to be modeling what you are and who you are to them and show them what love really looks like. Make me more like you.
Come on.
You sit on your bed. You talk like that with an open face, an unveiled face to Father, and watch what happens inside your heart. Then all of a sudden, that thing that used to irritate you doesn't even have the ability. You'll wonder why it used to bother you. Because you see the value of your children, not what they're doing wrong. And you see their destiny, not their weakness. Are you with me?
Yes.
And then you can talk with a spirit of gentleness and still be super straight and sober. But your heart's coming from love because you're not offended. If you're offended, how can you instruct in the Lord? How can you expect Holy Spirit to go with you if you're offended?
Yes.
How can you expect Holy Spirit to take your words and put them in the heart if you're upset? It doesn't matter how wrong they are. Were we all wrong?
And we're sitting here in righteousness.
I didn't do one thing right up until the night I got saved. The only thing I did right was I called out to him from sincerity. And grace came and saved me. Yay! Up until that moment, I did nothing right. I was detestable. According to the standard of God. And yet he loved me. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because he didn't see what I was and he saw what I was created to be.
Wow.
He didn't see what I was missing. He saw what I was called to and created for.
Yes.
And love never failed.
Yes.
So how many of you got saved and God just showed up on a throne? You know, two angels just sat a throne down and this glory appeared on the throne. And it was mysterious and it was just there, and you saw these arms cross in the middle of all the swirling glory. And he says, oh, so you're finally coming now. After all this time, I've been wooing you for how long? Who's ever had that? Who's ever had God confront you when you repent and say, should have been 2 months ago. You caused a lot of hell and pain the last 2 months. See, because when you're really sincere, you're changed on the inside. And God won't address where you've been. He'll meet you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give that possibility to your children, your family members, and to the brother who's overtaken. See, I can't even get past this one line. I'm in trouble. I'm trying to get down to verse 9.
Lord, have mercy. Well, there's always tonight. We can just do it all day or bring in food or something.
I'm having fun. I'm sorry. Spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So you're always representing truth. You're always representing Him. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So there's a time to step in, take some weight off of somebody so they can get up a little bit and keep on moving forward. That's all that means. But watch this. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, this is apart from Christ. This is just in your own strength, your own wisdom, your own ability, just man's reputation. When he is nothing, so apart from him, you're nothing. That's where it's just status. That's where you got hot shots and low life. Mountains and gutters, right? But he said, let every mountain be and every valley. Cool. Ain't that awesome?
Yes.
Boy, he changes things. So if anybody thinks he's something when he's nothing, he's deceived. But let each one examine... Oh, the word is so good. Look, let each one examine another's work or his own work?
His own work.
Oh my goodness, how many times have we been distracted by the other?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't stop. That's a cop-out. You're justifying. What does where they're at have anything to do with how you feel? You're being him walking in love. Why are you letting them and where they're not influence where you are?
Yeah.
It's just time to grow up into him. Don't make them your reason or you're making them your Lord because they're governing your life.
Yes.
Right.
So they become your justification. Watch. And then tomorrow is always yesterday.
Yeah.
If you don't change the way you think. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Come with some of your discount. I'm just trusting. Watch this. Let each one examine whose work?
His own work.
And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone. That's not pride. That's not throwing a party for yourself. That's not giving yourself an Emmy. That's you going to bed at night and actually having a crystal clear conscience and feeling good about your life in God. And there's no secrets, there's no closet doors, there's nothing like that. You're just unveiled and open before Him in whom you give account.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Oh, that's a fun place to live. A super clear conscience, no regrets, no looking back.
Yay.
Do you know how many good people, sincere people don't live that way? That's why there's instructions in the book. It's these little foxes that keep coming in and steal the precious fruit that wants to hang on the vine. Next thing you know, we've been in church for years and we've done our best and we've tried and we're sincere and we've even given offerings and da-da-da. But wrong thinking, wrong believing, little stuff. So we're going to examine ourselves. This is serious. Yeah. We're going to have rejoicing in ourselves alone and not in another. It's not, well, that's a great brother. Oh, man, he sure knows the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a good brother. I'm glad he comes to men's meeting. Well, that's great. Honor a brother. But man, go to bed at night and have rejoicing in what God's doing in your own heart and life. And you have an unveiled face. You can look in the mirror and rejoice and not have to look away. There's no secrets. You see what I'm saying? Look at verse 6. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. That's just encouraging the people that are sowing into your life and being encouraging that way. See, and here's the cool thing about from the teacher aspect, and I can speak on this because it's been my life for a long time. How you respond to what I teach has nothing to do with what I teach and how I teach. Believing that it's true and it's for your sake is what motivates me.
Look, whether you receive me this weekend or not, I'm so encouraged. It's ridiculous. Why? Because I'm Danny Apple, a gospel seed. Like Johnny Appleseed, I'm Danny Gospel Seed. I'm just sowing seed. Like, I'm just throwing truth out there.
Right? And if you don't put nothing in the ground, nothing's growing.
That's right.
So I'm pumped.
Yay. Kingdom of God's if a man scatters seed, I'm going to do it. It doesn't say, but if the seed doesn't grow right away, he's really upset and discouraged and disappointed and probably won't sow no more. No, I'll probably sow a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Did you ever garden? Did you ever put some seeds in the ground and some didn't germinate? What do? Sow some more. I did beets one year, and it was just a tough year. They just weren't coming up, and I figured my yard's blessed. Bless the fruit of my ground. Beets, you should have come up. Seed, I don't even know what you're thinking. Come up. They didn't come up, so I just put new seeds where they didn't come up, and I just filled all the spaces with more seeds. So if the seeds I sowed didn't grow, guess what I did? Just kept sowing more seed. That's pretty simple.
Well, I don't know about this gardening. I think I'm going to go quick gardening. Nothing I'm planting ever grows. I'm done gardening. I sure ain't got no green thumb. I'm done gardening.
Put in more seed! Because if you embrace that mentality, that quitter attitude in that area, you're doing it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's good.
You should make it to where that's not even thinkable. Ain't that something?
Good.
Hey, this is good, ain't it?
It is good.
It feels good. I'm just getting this, like, right now. Like, this is good. I might preach this again in another... No. No, honestly, I felt like this is... I got on this thing right away, and I felt like it was for your house. Like, stay encouraged. It's too, we're getting to verse 9. We're going to get there. We'll get there before... Yeah, we'll get there. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. That's awesome. I'll tell you from the teacher's aspect also, that's your fruit and reward. Like, my payday is when somebody looks at me sincere and says, man, I've been listening to you for the last 6 months. I can't even express the change it's made in my life. Ding, 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 ding. You get what I'm saying? Now, if they say, I've been listening to the last 6 months, I just ain't quite getting it, man. I say, well, listen, so just what do you do? Just reach back in the bag. Sow more seed.
Yeah.
Encourage him to keep listening. It's like the guy last night. The guy last night. Where's my little buddy from last night? He was lit up. The guy last night. I lost your face. There you are. Was he lit up or what? Was that a payday? Was that more than enough? Yeah, you can't even explain the reward in him going ding, 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 ding. Why? Because it's for the people's sake. We're not doing this to feel like somebody. We've become something in the Lord. We're not thinking of ourselves more highly than we are. We see who we've become in the Lord, and we're like, yay, and we're enjoying something, and we see the value of others in that, so we want to give that. And when somebody goes ding, 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 and they shine like that, and the light bulb's on... It's priceless. I just kept looking at him. I said, he got it. Like, look at you, dude. I mean, he's LED. Bright. Rewarding, wasn't it? So when you share with people that are encouraging you and they see your fruitfulness and your growth, I mean, I have my buddy Todd. My buddy Todd White. Everybody seems to know Todd because he's out there. And he's a media guy and he's really out there. And he's awesome. When I saw him getting it and growing and changing and saw God moving in his life, what do you think that did to my heart?
Yes.
When you watch him cycle for 6 months and you got other people saying, well, he ain't this, well, he ain't sincere, well, he's just looking for attention, and everybody seems like they have an answer for somebody else's heart. You better be careful. There's only one true judge.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's one that only truly, really, truly knows.
Right.
The inside of man. When you just say, well, I just think they're just looking for attention. Well, I just think they're just... Well, you better just be careful with what you just think.
Yeah.
That's a sign something needs to die as well. What thing needs to die? Not you, that thing. I didn't shoot you. Don't say the preacher shot me this morning. What do you think the payday is and the reward? And then he starts calling me. The first day he saw somebody healed after praying and praying, he called me. He's crying and he's all worked up. He's like, dude. And I'm like, are you okay? Oh my goodness, I'm awesome. And I go, he said, I got a word of knowledge. I said, really? Yeah. He tells me the whole story. I'm like, oh man. And you hang up and you're like, God, you're doing a work. Then he's coming to healing services and
And a guy comes up. You know, that guy, he's just experimenting. He's just practicing. He ain't really hearing God. He's just, you need to calm him down. You need to put a bridle on him. You need, leaders. Tons of people that were sure they knew. Didn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. Be careful with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because you want to sow into the Spirit. Watch verse 7. Do not be deceived. Okay. Can I read that again, please? Do not be deceived. Whenever you see that, you better really listen. Because God's, He always talks straight. There's times He adds that. He does it with sexual immorality. Do not be deceived. For anyone practicing fornication, et cetera, will by no means see the kingdom of God. What's the front words? Do not. There's another place in the New Testament that talks about the same list, fornication, etc. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For no one practicing, and there's the list. Do not be deceived, let no one. Well, yeah, but God knows our heart. Yeah, but God just knows. Well, He's merciful and forgiving God. And He just... No, what you're doing is you're hurting yourself. And because you're compromising, you'll never see the kingdom flowing through your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're to seek ye...
First.
The... So if you don't see the kingdom, that's got to be a problem. Because that's why you're here, to see the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here. And go preach saying, it's here! But you're letting other desires and temporal things steal your appetite and dissuade you, and then hide behind empty words.
Yeah.
I just got on the topic, brother. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For, watch this word, for whatever. Whatever. For whatever. A man sows, that is exactly what he's going to reap.
Yeah.
You sow judgment, you sow disdain, you sow frustration. People do it deceitfully sometimes. They're like, you heard about Johnny, right? What do you mean about Johnny? Johnny, you didn't hear about Johnny? Oh, man, Johnny. But you didn't even talk to Johnny, you don't even know. Billy told you about Johnny. And now you're telling Fred. And Fred don't even know. And I had a pastor in my life tell me, he said, when somebody does that to you, he said, you need to clip it immediately. He said, don't cut them off. Just hand them a cell phone or ask them to have a cell phone and say, well, I don't know that to be true. Let's call him right now. We need to find out. And he said, they'll back out immediately or repent and change the way they're doing that thing. Because sometimes we talk about a person and the only person that wasn't talked to is the person we're all talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we disguise it. We say, well, then I'm just telling you so you keep him in prayer.
Yeah.
I just want you to keep him in prayer.
Right.
No, you just had to tell that thing, didn't you? Well, did you even call Sandy? Well, no, I don't know how she'd feel if I... Well, how would she feel if you're telling me what you don't even know to be true? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you... That's all a form of sowing.
Oh, boy.
The kingdom of God is if a man scatters...
Seed.
It's supposed to be kingdom seed. But you're sowing something, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's in seed form. Mm-hmm. And it's got the potential to grow into fruit. Whether fruit that you want or fruit that you don't. In this, the Father's well pleased that you bear much in your fruit.
Remain.
Because a lot of people are bearing fruit that won't remain. What's pleasing is fruit that will be forever.
Yeah.
To his name and to his glory. Are you with me?
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
So God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Okay. For he who sows to his flesh has nothing to do with the will of God, has nothing to do with the sovereignty of God, has nothing to do with the choice of God, has to do with what a man sows. If you sow in your flesh, that's why I talk about, you know, I talk about attitudes a lot, motives in your life. Why? Because that determines the seed. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the why behind your life. When you wake up in the morning, the reason for being. Let me just get simple with you. Why do you come to church? Do you come to church because high praise is your place of gathering? Or do you come to church to gather among believers? Do you have a different reason? Do you have a deeper reason than just, that's where I go to church? Sometimes we can look at that and never get caught in religion and just get into tradition and say, oh, I like the worship there. Oh, when Clay sits at the piano, it just because it's got to touch your heart. He's awesome. I played your CD, by the way, for a long time. Where'd he go? I lost him now. Oh, there he is. You were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
You moved to him. I thought you translated. I thought, Clay, somewhere else, leave worship. Wouldn't surprise me, man. I played your CD for months in my truck. Months. But you don't just come because he's awesome and because they're awesome together. You don't just come because, did you see all the strings the dude broke on his thing? He was playing. Dude, you were playing, man. I thought you could have tied another one up. I mean, you had a lot of strings hanging. I didn't know they broke that much. I see him. I looked up and it was like, poof. I said, whoa. Worked again. Who knows? You can come and just enjoy that and say, what a great church.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, church attendance takes the place of knowing him, and knowing him is eternal life.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're gaining all your out of what you're a part of instead of who he is. That's why people get hurt in church. Because
yeah.
They're finding themselves through each other, and it doesn't work for the long run.
But I just depended on you. But I was trusting you. And I just couldn't believe you did that to me. Well, I just never thought you...
Yes.
Those phrases are all problems. And dead giveaways. And you're missing why he's in you.
Yes.
And why you're a part of this house. You're a part of this house to be more like him. To bring him with you and in this setting.
Yes.
So new believers benefit from that. People that don't understand get understanding. Because you're like him, unmovable and unshakable and steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Unmovable and unshakable. Why? Because he is. Bam. Yeah? Don't be deceived. He's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. For he who sows to the flesh. Watch. Of the
flesh.
You see the power of seed? You have it up there?
Yep.
I've seen y'all looking up. I know about an angel. It happened to me one time. A big screen right behind me. And everybody's looking at the screen. And at the service, this guy said, did anybody ever tell you there's this big blue angel hovering over you when you're preaching? I said, well, I had people mention that before, but I just don't think much of it. I mean, hey, if he's there, great. I know blue represents revelation. I get it. I get what you're saying. I'm not upset that you saw it or that you... I just don't get into all that stuff too much. I just know he's here and God's good and his grace is on my life. So the next service, I look and nobody's looking at me. They're all looking up here. I noticed their eyes are looking above me and I thought, they're all seeing that angel. That angel really is above. And I was like, I was preaching and I got distracted because I'm looking at people. I look at people. You notice I look at you, right? Nobody's looking at me. They're all looking up. And I'm like, so while I'm preaching, I thought, oh, I wonder if I could see it. And I was looking and I went like that and it was the big screen. They're all looking at the big screen, at the scriptures. God was an angel hovering right above me. Oh, scream. So I saw y'all looking to the sides. For he who sows to his flesh, look at this, of the will of God, of the Spirit of the Lord, it shows you how much power is in a seed. So do not be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You see? whatever a man sows, he'll reap. And he sows into the flesh, of the flesh, corruption, but he sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life.
Amen.
Now see, you got to love that God talks that way.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not being smart right now. I'm not being challenging. I'm not being judgmental. Watch. Faith understands that.
Mm-hmm.
And faith says, I'm going to give myself to a truth that powerful.
Come on.
And faith takes personal responsibility to examine yourself.
Yeah.
Not another. The just shall live by
faith.
If there's no faith, you disregard this. If there's no faith, you don't watch your tongue. If there's no faith, you say, oh, whatever they had coming to them. If there's no faith, you justify the seeds of the flesh. And you find people that understand your justification because they feel what you feel. And they become your friends. Oh, that's good straight preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Could you go to verse 9? Because that was our destination.
I'm already here.
Ooh, this is the word that I felt like I was to give y'all. I just read the rest and preached the whole time. And let you, us, we're a family. We're going to live this thing together. We're going to walk this out.
Yes.
And if we see anybody overtaken, we're going to go with the spirit of gentleness.
Yes.
We're going to say, hey, you're so much more than this, man. Look, you can't afford to be discouraged. Brother will tell me, well, I'm just discouraged. Discouraged? Where do you even find the right to be discouraged? Come on, man. Didn't you deny yourself? I stood there at the altar the day you cried and prayed. Don't you get tricked picking something up you gave up. Don't pick it back up. Don't you resurrect what you call dead. Wonder if you don't even have permission to be discouraged because you're living for the King. Wonder if you don't seek yourself and live for yourself. Wonder if you're getting tricked back into the same old, and it's going to produce the same old fruit you got delivered from. Friend, I'm talking to you about it. And well, you need to back off. I ain't backing off. I love you way too much. Your life's way more than this. That's the kind of friend I am. So if you don't want me as a friend, I get it. It's because you don't want challenged into truth. Because I'm going to call you on that thing. I'll talk straight. I'll get you in a closed door. The door closed, nobody around. I'll talk straight, but my heart's gentle towards you. It's for your sake. It's not because I'm mad. It's not something, you knucklehead, you need to get with him. You're just going to go straight to hell and then go straight to hell then if you want to go to hell. It's not the way I would preach to you. Come on, you know why you're all laughing? Because we've all heard each other talk like this over the years.
Yeah.
And call it ministry. And let us, see, we're in it together. Let us, it's an army rising up. Let us not grow weary while doing
good.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth who went around doing
good.
Let us not grow weary while we're doing well. Yeah, my mom just died, man. Well, my mom died 2 years ago. Well, my mom died 4 years ago. I just happened to, well, I'm just trying to, you know, I had a situation with my job. And I'll get over it. I mean, sometimes these things take time, but stop. Don't even try to talk to me like that. I will stop you and ask you where you got that wisdom. Why? Because your mindset's allowing you to grow weary in the middle of being called to shine. Are you with me?
Yes.
Greater love hath no man than this. He... Don't pick it back up. Don't find one reason to not be like him. You found a reason why you can. Don't sell cheap when you're not for sale. Don't buy into phrases like, well, it's just been a hard season, brother. You try to sell that to Jesus, who got forsaken by his own and betrayed by his own. His own men at the table, breaking bread and passing the cup, said they'll die for him, and they ran as soon as he was struck. That's an offended pastor that needs rehabilitation in today's Christian world.
Mm-hmm.
We build camps and facilities for those fellas that get treated that way to try to restore them. But if we don't change the foundation or the root of being offended and why you can be offended, offense will keep coming. Right?
Right.
Man. Remember John the Baptist?
Mm-hmm.
Who had a greater revelation of Jesus being the Christ than John the Baptist in his day? The Bible says no one. He was hand-raised by the Lord in the wilderness and got a revelation. And when he saw Jesus, he said, "Oh, it's him. Here he comes. He's the one." When he got in the water, he knew who it was. There was no exchange. They didn't hand business cards, ministry cards. "Jesus, here's my heart. Been around from the beginning." He just got in the water. He said, "It's you coming for me. It's you that should be baptizing me. Why would I baptize? Just permit it now, John, so all righteousness can be fulfilled." He baptized him. And when he baptized him, he what? Saw the Spirit of the Lord descend upon him like a dove. And he said, "This is he. This is he. For the Lord said, the one that the Spirit would come upon and descend upon and remain upon it is him." He said, "I must decrease and he must increase. Follow him. It's him." Who knows that John knew he was the Lord? In the womb, when Mary and Elizabeth met, what happened to John? He's in there kicking. Yeah. He's like, "That's my cousin right there. And he's the Lord." In the womb, she's 6 months pregnant. He's in there. Jesus. Did John know when he got thrown in prison because of Herod? He called two disciples, and guess what he asked his disciples? Because John is preaching that this man is coming. He knows Scripture. He's going to open prison doors. Those who are bound are going to go free. Da, da, da. And now John, he's in prison. He's the forerunner. He's the messenger. Speaking. Crying out. Now he's in prison. He asked his disciples to go and ask Jesus a question that he already had the revelation of the answer. He said, "Go ask him if he's the one, or should we look for another?" When did he ask that question? When he was in prison. When life was challenging and things were tough, outside of what he expected. So he changed his belief or questioned it in that moment. And you can tell he was offended by his circumstances because of Jesus' answer. And the only way we can tell that is not to put John down, but just to learn. Because Jesus lifted John up right in that moment. Here's what he said. "You go back and tell John what you both see and hear." And he gave him a list of the works of the gospel. And then he said, "And blessed is the man who's not offended because of me." What was he saying? John's losing sight because of his situation. You go back and tell John, "This is men are seeing, deaf are hearing. Lame are walking, poor are having the gospel preached. John knows who I am. Go tell him to stop being offended because he's in jail." Yeah? Amen. How can you have a revelation and ask a question because of your situation? You got to let the revelation look through your situation. So you say, "Well, what's the choice? Now that we know what we know, see, John... we're learning from it. We're not putting John down. We're going, wow, he wrote all this so we see it and don't make the same mistake." Right. Are we putting John down? No. We're saying, "Wow, now what will we do?" So we're in prison and we say, "Wow, I thank you, God, you can't shut up the gospel. You can't chain the gospel. And I think you keep this life from shining. And even if they kill me, I'm still going to be alive."
This is amazing.
Paul had that revelation and ministered to countless guards. Their biggest dilemma was putting him in prison because he'd get people saved all the time. Yeah?
Yes.
They're whipping them and chaining them to walls and they're worshiping God at midnight. Not,
"Man, I can't believe God didn't watch our backs, man. Trying to preach the gospel and get cities saved and he won't even protect us. I don't even know if I want to go preach in another city if God ain't going to protect me, man." Hello?
That wasn't them, was it? Paul and Silas, they're just singing, worshiping, surrender. The whole prison got touched. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, wow. That's why the just live by faith. You're not doing it so people praise you. You're not doing it for a thank you note. Man, don't serve in a ministry like this to be appreciated. Serve in a ministry like this because you believe the kingdom of God's flowing through it and you're saying, "I'm all in." I'm doing it because of love. Because as soon as you do it to be appreciated, the moment you don't feel appreciated, your feelings get hurt, and you're back in the flesh. And now you're offended Christian that goes to church and attends scripture. If you're doing something to receive a thank you, reevaluate, change your heart, step out so you can step back in. If you're doing something for accolade, if you're doing something to be noticed, if you're doing something just because when Travis walks by you, he says, man, I don't think this ship could run without you, man. Who knows, he could say that just because he means it and he's seeing your value. But if you need him to say it, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong for him to say that. Who knows that he could see one of you guys and he could appreciate one of you guys and walk by one day and from his sincere heart say, hey, I don't know, but the best thing you could do is be like in your heart, like, man, I didn't need him to say that. Wow, well, thank you, man. Hey, it's just an honor. And he walks away and you feel humbled. You're like, Jesus, what an honor to play this part. I didn't, man, I wasn't even thinking that deep on, but wow, I could tell he was sincere. Well, thanks for the honor, God. Rather than, boy, I'm glad he's noticing. I'm glad he's appreciating. That's the day you're at risk of being hurt and let down. And that's when you're living in the flesh. Mm-hmm. I've pastored for a little while. I've been around a little bit. Do you know how many people I've seen get hurt in the function of serving within their church? Well, I just got hurt at my church. Well, I was giving and giving. Well, I was laying down my life. Well, they didn't even appreciate it. Well, I was going in there two extra times a week. Okay. And so where'd you get hurt? Well, I didn't even remember I even got a remote thank you. You with me?
Yeah.
You know, you can sit all day and say, well, shouldn't they have thanked her? See? You missed the whole point. When no one seemed to be showing their love and commitment towards Jesus, did he change his love and commitment?
No.
Did men ever have the power to change who he was?
No.
That's why he's still changing men.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you with me?
Amen. Amen.
That's how you maintain your influence. Oh, that's just a good word.
For in due season, we shall reap. Reap what? The fruit of every good seed we sow. If we what? Why? Why is that there at the end if we don't lose heart? Because when you lose heart, your seed changes. And everything you sow is of the flesh. And of the flesh you reap corruption. And do not be deceived. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm just going to close with that. I feel so like done.